From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Megan Mack. Our connection this hour was made in the early 90s, right here in Rochester, when a young man from the city was defying the odds. Young Roland Williams was a student at East High, and he was working part-time jobs at Delta Sonic and McDonald's, and maybe you've heard he was also a fairly decent football player. Williams went on to graduate from East High School, attend Syracuse University, and win Super Bowl 34 with the St. Louis Rams. Now, his is a story of overcoming extreme challenges. He grew up in a neighborhood surrounded by poverty, gangs, and drugs. And even though he's now living in LA, he's made it his mission to give back to his hometown and help young people who are facing some of the same challenges that he did. And he's doing that through a program called the Champion Academy. Maybe you remember he was on this program about 3 years ago talking about the Champion Academy, and we have a lot of progress, remarkable stories to talk about today. And Roland is here to share some of those details with us. We're fortunate to have him in studio right before a press conference where he's supposed to be revealing all this information. So thanks for putting us first. Welcome back.
It's great to be back.
Also in studio with us, Veronica Wilson is the Community Partnerships Manager for the Champion Academy. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Anthony Bogar is a member of the Champion Academy. Hi, Anthony.
Hi.
How old are you?
13.
What grade are you in?
7.
Awesome. Do you like the Champion Academy?
Yeah.
If you can't see, I know we're on City 12 right now, so hello to all our viewers on City 12. Anthony is rocking a Champion Academy shirt. It is the best. We have a picture that we'll tweet later today. And Anthony is here with his mom, Tatiana Bogar. Hi. Welcome.
Hello.
Thank you for coming in. So, Roland, again, it's been 3 years since you've come into the studio. During that time, we talked about the very beginnings of the program. It hadn't actually launched at that point, but now you're 3 years in. So let's talk about, for those who may not know, what the Champion Academy actually is.
Well, Champion Academy is, I believe, a tool that we need to help our teens become the people that they're supposed to be. You know, growing up here in Rochester, you know, it wasn't just my mom and dad who, you know, they weren't married, but they were in my life. But it really was people from the community all pitching in and being part of my life, from my time at McDonald's, from Delta Sonic, from coaches, and just individuals just poured into me. And I want to bring it back. Our teens have more challenges than they've ever had. And so the Champion Academy is a membership-based program that runs year-round. And our basic purpose is to help them learn the skill sets and do everything it takes to fight for their future.
Mm-hmm. And I think when people hear the phrase Champion Academy, they may think it's a sports program, but it's not, correct?
That's a great point. The word champion actually has two meanings. One of them is sports-based, right? The first one who surpasses our rivals in a competition. But our version that we use is the second one, a verb, a person who stands for and defends a cause. And so the Champion Academy is teaching our students to stand up for and defend the number one cause, which I believe is them and their future against all odds.
So walk me through, what's a typical day like at the Champion Academy? I'll turn to Anthony now. Where do you go to participate in the program?
We go downtown and we meet up by the, I forgot what it's called, but we meet up at this place, and then we have a monthly meetup for 2 weeks. And then we talks about our school and how we doing, how we paying attention in school, our grades. Make sure that we need focus, effort, and discipline to attend the Champion Academy.
Mm-hmm. And your brother's in the program too, right?
Yes.
Do you do things together? Do you have the same mentor, or do you have your own mentor?
We have, like, different mentors.
Oh, okay. How many do you have, each of you?
I have one, he have one.
Oh, I see. Okay. What do you talk about with your mentor?
My grades, and if I need help with my grades, I ask my mentor.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Roland, how do you match the students with the mentors?
The interesting part is that it's so amazing hearing Tony say that, is because our program is group and peer mentorship based. We have individuals called accountability coaches that sort of surrounds our coverage of our students. So from the morning, from 6:30 a.m. to a wake-up call and text messages that we send our students, to sending our accountability coaches inside the classrooms and being a part of the daily experience. We go on field trips, exposure opportunities. We expose our kids to life in general. So there's 12 different parts of the Champion Academy. We're literally a wraparound mentoring program. You know, we're not just after school. We're before school. We're during school. We're after school. In the summertime, on vacations, and just using the power of team to help our students succeed. So, Ant, that's awesome. Your accountability coach actually has like 40 other students that he has to cover. And so that makes me happy that he makes you feel like you're the only one.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
So is it a year? It's a year-long program.
Correct.
And students can start at any age.
We actually start in the seventh grade.
Okay.
We are in a pilot phase right now, and it's really important that we sort of get all of our ducks in a row to get our outputs, our outcomes, and everything that align with current standards. And so we've done it over the last year or so, and I'm so grateful. I mean, in our first year, we had no full-time employees. Now we're up to an awesome staff of seven, and Veronica, our partnerships manager, is leading the charge. We collaborate with dozens of existing nonprofits. We're trying to be as fiscally responsible as humanly possible. And it just feels good when you see students that show up. Aunt, you're doing it. I'm proud of you. And you have parents that get involved. This is what our program is about. It's really extended family values, I guess, you know, with a extreme mentoring twist.
Let's talk about extreme mentoring, because extreme is a word you don't usually see in front of the word mentoring. So
right.
what exactly does that involve?
Well, the word extreme means to take things to the max, right? To do what it takes to succeed. And the reality is that our teens in today's Rochester are different than when we were growing up. They're exposed to different stimuluses. There's a lot more negative influences, social media, all these things out here. And the culture has evolved. And so I think that when the culture evolves, if we're serious about mentorship, we better evolve. So how we communicate to our students, we're a little more assertive, I would say, than the average organization. We try to be brutally honest when necessary. Basically, it's like we'll do whatever it takes for our students to succeed. That's legal. But we will do literally, Mama, you know that.
Yes.
We will
yes.
do literally whatever it takes for our students to be successful. And it's working. The outcomes say so.
Tatiana, what's an example of that has happened with either Anthony or your other son?
Well, I have actually four children that attend the program.
Oh, wow,
so
great.
So Champion Academy is not only for boys, it is for girls. So I do have a daughter who attends. The Champion Academy has helped me as far as being a second family to my children. Anthony is a child who has been suffering with ADHD and anger issues as well. And to have someone on my side to help with that and let him see that he can be more than what society has labeled him, it's a great hand, because we don't often get that. We don't get the support that we can need for our children to help bring them. It's always either just us or someone blaming us, and instead we have someone helping us and letting our kids say that, look, what mom is doing or what dad is doing is for a better reason. We have someone other than them to look up. And Roland has been great to all the children there.
Mm-hmm. Anthony, is it cool to get to work with Roland?
Yes.
Yeah? How much did you know about him before you met him?
Not that much.
No? Are you a football fan?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you get his autograph?
No.
Oh, we'll have to make that happen.
I'm getting old. I'm getting old, man. And I get it. I'm getting old. Right.
Well, it's even more cool to meet him in person and talk to him about things that you care about rather than just having a signature on a paper. Do you feel like he's part of your family now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How about your mentor? What do you talk to him about other than school? Do you talk about things going on with your friends or what you're doing outside
yeah.
of school?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like what? Tell me a little bit about that.
Like when I'm like, when I'm doing the stuff that my friend's doing, and my mentor asks me how I'm doing, and then he finds out that I'm not doing right, I talk to him, he tells me not to follow my friend and be all up under him, just do what I need to do and stay focused.
Mm-hmm. Are you worried about some of your friends and some of the choices they might be making?
Well, not really.
Okay, good. Would you like them to have someone like a mentor in their life? So if they had questions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What about your brother and your sister? Do you have two brothers and a sister or two sisters and a brother?
Two brothers and a sister.
Oh, are you the oldest, the youngest?
No, I'm the middle child.
Middle child. That's not so bad. I'm the oldest and I don't like that very much, but we all have our problems. How do you talk to each other about the Champion Academy and your mentors and
yeah.
What you're doing? Mm-hmm. What sorts of things do you talk about?
We talk about, like, when the next meetup or when we go to the community service to help out the community.
Oh, cool. So what are some things you've done to help the community?
Just recently we went to where they race with the bike, and we was helping out, passing snacks out.
Tour de Cure.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Yeah. How did that feel?
It felt great.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because it just felt great because I was helping out the community, not just being in a house sitting down on my phone. It's just like I'm getting out and helping the community.
That's awesome. That's really cool. Good for you.
And what other community service did you do this year? Let's hear some more.
You're holding back on me. Come on,
Anthony. The
Bethany
House.
Okay. Yeah, tell us about the Bethany House.
I helped clean the Bethany House, and we mopped floors. We cleaned the upstairs, folded clothes. We did a lot of community service. We went to the Y and did some community service, helped the kids swim in the community.
Very cool. What was your favorite one of all those things?
The Bethany House.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because I was cleaning, and it felt good to help somebody else clean their house.
Mama, he cleaned at the house?
They have chores they have to clean.
Good practice.
That's all right. That's all right.
Veronica, I'll turn to you. Let's talk about some numbers, because the last time Roland was on the program, nothing had launched at that point. And there are some awesome infographics on your website that people can check out. But now that we have you here in studio, tell us about some of the success stories. How many students has the Champion Academy helped?
Well, we've helped hundreds of students, in particular this past year. It's in the numbers of 200 or so students that we've helped. We've done a number of our program elements. For instance, we have a program that we call the Random Mentor Checkup, where we have our volunteers from the community actually go into a city school and check up on our students. And we've done over 75 of those this year in a short period of time. It's a program we just recently launched. We have a goal to do 500 a day, so I need a lot more volunteers for that program. Other numbers in terms of community service opportunities.
It's a little teamwork happening here.
So 94% of our active members have increased or maintained school attendance. 90% of active members have increased or maintained academic performance. 89% of active members have improved attitudes towards avoiding risky behaviors, including drugs, alcohol, crime, and violence. 94% of active members increased or maintained self-confidence to accomplish future goals. 92% of active members improved attitudes towards developing healthy relationships with peers, adults, outside of their family. 86% of active members improve attitudes towards developing healthy relationships with police officers and other authority figures. Mm-hmm. So those are some of our recent numbers. I have more. 6 members recently in this period, this year, achieved a 4.0 GPA. 74 members achieved a 3.0 GPA or higher. And we had 2,056 hours of community service. And shout out to my program manager for providing me with these numbers.
Nice.
Teamwork. we're debuting this stuff early.
Oh, yeah. Well, here you go, listeners and viewers on City 12. Congratulations. You are the first to know. Tatiana, you were smiling when Veronica was talking about some of those GPA numbers. Have you seen a big improvement with your kids?
Yes. Anthony actually went from a 0.14 to a
3.50. Hey, nice.
Say it again, Mama. What happened, Mama?
He went from a 0.14 to a 3.50. My oldest son, he came here and he has been on the honor roll 3 times, and he is graduating with honors on Saturday. So I'm very happy with that. my other son, LaShawn, has also he started off rough and he became on the marking period for 2 marking periods. And my daughter, she's becoming a work in progress. So we're working there.
Mm-hmm. That is awesome. Roland, I know that this program means so much to you, and it all traces back to what you experienced while you were growing up. Tell us a little bit about your story and your childhood, and if you can relate to these students.
Absolutely. It's so funny because people, you know my story of playing professional football, but they don't really know how I got there. You know, I didn't really play football that much growing up. In high school, I was terrible as a freshman. My sophomore year, I sat the bench. My junior year, I broke my foot and missed the whole season. And so my childhood wasn't a football-centric childhood at all. During my childhood, my mom and dad, they weren't ever together. I had a chance to be firsthand to, you know, abuse and to drugs and to gangs and to all these things. And What I tell people all the time is that poverty is way more than an economic situation. You see, you can change your economics, but the real poverty is the poverty of the mind and spirit. And so the Champion Academy is focused on the mind and spirit. I've been to third world countries. I've seen real poverty. I've seen real, real poverty. And in real life, this isn't that kind of poverty. But when you look at the mind and spirit, we're worse off. And so there's this thing called trauma that our students face. There's vicarious trauma, which they face, that sometimes they don't know they're facing it. They just act, it's almost normal. Like we see a fight, it's almost like, oh, it's just a fight, keep it moving. That's a traumatic experience. And so it's so important that we learn how to peel back the onion and we deal with the real issues and we bring in the resources and the intelligence and we bring it in a way that the actual end user can get it. Because if we come in on our high horse, which I believe there's too much of that, we're not connecting. Because if you connect with truth and honesty and consistency and love, people change. Like Anthony going from a one, what'd you say, mama?
0.14.
A 0.14 to a what?
3.50.
Now, I don't know how many organizations we have out here, but I don't know how many are doing that. That is groundbreaking. Mm-hmm. That's what we are going to do more of with the Champion Academy as we roll out this third year of our pilot. And as we head into being a long-term part of the Rochester community.
Anthony, when you got your new report card and you saw that number, how did you feel?
Excited.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more. You gotta be more than excited to go
I was just excited because I didn't know I was going to get that high this year. Mm-hmm. Because I was doing awful in the first beginning of marking period. But when I went to the Champion Academy, it helped me boost my grade up a whole lot.
How did they help you? Did they help you learn how to study more effectively? Or
yeah, they helped me study. They helped me, like I said, not following the people that's not doing wrong, that's not doing right, mm-hmm. and go to a whole other different path and work on it.
What's your favorite subject in school?
Math.
Hey, good for you.
Boy, oh boy, that sounds good. What is it?
Math.
Oh, boy. Boy, oh boy.
What do you want to do when you grow up? Do you know yet? Any ideas?
Not really.
That's okay. You have time. Some people, I don't even know still, so you're fine. I just hang out here every day. Did you, before you had the Champion Academy, what was the biggest challenge for you in school? Were you struggling with keeping up with homework, or did you just not like going to school?
I really didn't like listening to teachers and doing what they told me to do. So I just did what I wanted to do, but mm-hmm. it wasn't working out. Mm-hmm. So when I got to the academy, they helped me.
Did you ask your mom if you could go to the academy, or did she suggest it?
Yes.
You asked her? Mm-hmm. Because you heard your brothers were benefiting or your friends were there?
I was going there first because I thought it was just a football camp, but it's more than just a football camp. And when I got there, he did help me with doing school and everything.
That's awesome. See, there's where your name comes in handy.
Absolutely. I actually go into the schools and I do an assembly, and I do try to use, you know, I use the dangle of the football, carry it, wink, you know, to suck them in. And then hopefully they do just what Anthony did, realize that it's so much more than just a game. And so I'm just very grateful. You know, one of the things that we're working on doing this year is innovating in the space of volunteership. I hear a lot of people wanting to get involved, but they tell me some of the barriers. Like, Ro, I don't really feel like I can relate because I'm from the suburbs and I don't have the same gender. Or I'm not the same race. Some people say I don't have a lot of time. Other people say, you know, I'm scared. I'm nervous. I'm in a different cultural environment. Well, we've created a solution to all of that. Our campaign is called the Power of One Volunteer Campaign, and we created four simple and easy ways that people can volunteer and get involved that all happen under 60 minutes, 1 hour or less. And so we'll be launching that coming up today, also at 3:30, but you can learn more about this at our website, championacademyrock.org. And I'm just elated. You get me fired up, Aunt. You get me fired up. So we've come a long ways, but we have a long ways to go. I really want to continue to grow this program, and you know, this is my due deal. It's like we're building a dynasty over here. We're mm-hmm. building it brick by brick with hard work and commitment.
What's the process like? I imagine you get a lot of applications, probably more than you can accept.
Yes.
So how do you decide who's in, when, and,
yes.
and how does that start?
It's been an evolution. In the first year, I was full of passion, and I just went to every middle and high school in the city school district and beyond and said, hey, apply. And, you know, I'm going to select who we select. And so it was tough. You know, I went through and tried to make it a group affair, but that's not, I broke too many hearts because we had thousands of applicants and we only could technically serve, you know, a certain group. So this past year, we had 306 members in the program this past year. So now I had to evolve it. So now we literally go to principals and vice principals, and we offer an allocation of scholarships, and we ask them to send us the students that they feel will get the most out of Extreme Mentoring. And so they pick for us. And so obviously, you know, the population, because if you was a principal or vice principal and I gave you 30 scholarships, who are you sending me? Your valedictorians?
Right.
Right. So we have a group that is lively and in need of extreme mentoring. And we're showing what we can do.
Do you find that the students themselves are forging connections that they may not have otherwise? And what benefit does it have to meet other students who are like themselves?
Yes. We believe in cooperative learning. When our students first get into the program, we divide them up into small groups named after NFL teams. The Broncos. Anthony, what franchise was you on?
49ers.
All right. So we divide them up and put them on franchises. So from the door, they start connecting with students who are not at their same school, from different neighborhoods, and they're forced to compete against other franchises together and to rise and fall and learn about adversity and cope with things. And we throw life at them figuratively and literally to see how they handle it and then deal with that. So we believe in the power of team. And have you made any new friends?
Yes.
How many new friends you think?
A lot.
Like, give me a number. Like 5?
No.
10? 20? 50?
Like 50.
50? Whoa.
That's a big number, Ann. You sure?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
He's pretty popular.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah, he does a lot of the community service events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are popular, Ann.
Can students do as many community service events as they'd like to, Veronica, or is there a set structure for how that works?
We encourage our students to do a minimum of 10 hours community service for the year, but
great,
they can do as much as they would like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you find that a lot of students are asking to do more than the 10 hours?
It's starting to turn out that way. We try to provide them with some interesting opportunities, just like Anthony enjoyed the Bethany House. So, yes, to answer your question.
Nice. Yeah. We're talking about the Champion Academy with Roland Williams, the founder. And later today, he's going to be speaking about all this at a press conference, but we're getting a sneak peek here. So if you're listening or watching on City 12, you are the first to know. But we're talking about the Champion Academy's success with him, with Veronica Wilson, Community Partnerships Manager for the Champion Academy, Anthony Bogar, who is a member and part of the 49ers team, I just learned, and his mom, Tatiana Bogar. And when we come back, I'd like to address a comment that you made, Roland, earlier about the mindset of poverty. Mm-hmm. And there's, you may have heard Ben Carson's comments recently about poverty as a mindset and some additional subjects that have risen as a result of that. So we'll get into some of those questions next hour. But listeners, you can join this conversation. Talk to Roland in our panel. It's 844-295-TALK. That's 844-295-8255. Or if you're in Rochester, 263-WXXI, 263-9994. And I'm also on Twitter at mmacmedia. You can also email the program at connections@wxxi.org. Short break. More Connections is next. I'm Megan Mack. Thursday on the Next Connections, June is Pride Month, and we'll talk about the state of the current Pride movement. Protests at recent Pride parades have sparked a debate over how inclusive the movement really is. We'll talk about intersectionality, the recent protests, and what we can do at the local level to build a more inclusive community. Then in our second hour, it's our annual Rochester Jazz Fest preview. Talk to you Thursday. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Megan Mack, sitting in for Evan Dawson today. And we're talking about the Champion Academy, which is a local organization that's helping kids who may be considered at risk improve their grades, meet mentors, and overcome some challenges that they may face in their neighborhoods. And we talk a lot about poverty on the show. Rochester is the second poorest city of its size. It ranks the highest in the nation among comparably sized cities in child poverty and in extreme poverty. So the students who are involved with the Champion Academy, many of them come from those environments, and they're dealing with things like toxic stress and trauma and issues that their more affluent peers may not ever have to consider. And Roland, one thing that you mentioned, Roland Williams, the founder of the Champion Academy, one thing that you mentioned when you were on this program in 2014 is that a lot of students aren't hearing a male figure in their life saying that they're loved. No one's saying I love you to young men especially. And that's something that you've really started to focus on in the Champion Academy.
Absolutely. When I heard in 2014, I think it was, that we were last in America in graduation rates of minority males, it broke my heart. But then when I looked deeper into the statistics and found out that we were tops per capita in single-parent homes, female-headed homes, the absence of father figures, of fathers, mentors, I mean, that's tough. And for every person out there that's listening or watching, think about what your life would have been like without that father figure, without that role model, without that uncle. Some people even had like multiple people. I had like a dad and an uncle and a cool guy, and my coach was awesome. And some people have like 20. But imagine if you had none. It's, you're setting students up to fail, especially for young males. So our program, we take pride in filling that role. And as you know, that role isn't always the most popular one. But I think that it's necessary, right? If you're serious about helping your students grow.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's as simple as not the right word, but sometimes just sitting down and having a conversation with someone, getting to know their story, understanding the context of where they come from is so important. And it reminds me of a conversation we had with mayoral candidate Lori Thomas, who was a teacher in the city school district for a number of years. And she was involved in some controversy over how she disciplined a student. She washed the student's mouth out with soap. The student had made a comment to a peer. Lori didn't like what she heard. It was inappropriate, and so she washed the student's mouth out with soap. People reacted right away. They said it was, I think she was suspended for a while. But we brought her into the studio, and she was telling us what really happened behind the scenes. The student was part of a family that was living in poverty, and the student was running drugs during the day. So he would try to get suspended from school so he could leave school, go help his family, and you know, bring in some money. And she says nobody took the time to listen to what he was going through, and she did. And she said, I don't want you to be suspended. I don't want you to miss any more school. This is how I'm disciplining you. But I want you to be here. I want you to learn. So that context is so important. You probably see students all the time who have really difficult home environments. Mm-hmm. They're dealing with that toxic stress and the trauma. And it's incredible the work that you're doing, Roland and Veronica, and all of you that are involved, because these conversations really matter. And when we talk about poverty, we often hear the word mindset. Ben Carson recently made some comments. We'll listen to a clip in just a moment. But Joan called in. She's a teacher in the city school district in Rochester. And she says she thinks Roland came to her school last year and likes what he said about the mindset of poverty. So I'd like to explore that a little. But mm-hmm. Let's start with Ben Carson's comments. These were made a couple weeks ago while he was being interviewed on a radio program.
I think poverty, to a large extent, is also a state of mind. You take somebody who has the right mindset, you can take everything from them and put them on the street. And I guarantee you, in a little while, they'll be right back up there.
So that's different from what you said, Roland, I want to clarify. But those comments received a lot of backlash. People were upset. They said he doesn't understand the context. Some people don't have access to jobs or transportation or resources that other people have. But what is your first reaction to hearing that, Roland?
I think that in context, I understood what he was trying to say. There are plenty of situations and circumstances where there are barriers, whether they're racial, whether they're economic, whether they're just geographic barriers that are facing people in economic poverty. But what I think what he was trying to communicate was talking about the parts that have nothing to do with your race or your economic reality or your geographic reality. When I grew up, I was in poverty. My family was on welfare. We didn't have a car. We rode the RTS bus. I went to all of the programs that you hear about in Rochester. You know, I was a part of all those programs, and that was it. But I didn't ever feel in poverty. I never felt broke. There was a spirit of pride. I went to high school. I had 5 pair of pants and 5 shirts. I felt I had dignity throughout my entire life. So I was in economic poverty, but I was never in a spiritual or mental poverty. Mm-hmm. So when you see individuals who believe that they can't get out, That's a poverty-based mentality. When you believe that the world is against you and everything's working against you, that's a poverty-based mentality. When you wake up in the morning and you're looking to see how you can get over on the world and not try to contribute to the world, that's a poverty-based mentality. It has nothing to do with your economic reality. I can give you $1 million today, and you can still have a poverty-based mindset. And so I think that maybe people might have took what Ben Carson said a little bit out of context. I might not agree with everything he says, but I understood the way I heard it was that he was trying to say it was an and, not a condition, that 100% of all poverty cases are all mindset. I don't think that's what he was trying to say. And so that's the truth, because when you change the mind, the body follows. When you apply for 8 jobs and someone says, I can't get a job, at the Champion Academy, if they say, Ro, I applied for 8 jobs and I couldn't get a job, I said, how many should you apply for? The answer is as many as it takes. Is it 8? Is it 19? Is it 29? Is it 79? Is it 109? That's the difference between a poverty-based mindset versus a wealthy one. And so I think that that is critical. I think that we're not helping individuals in poverty with a mindset of greatness. What do the great ones think about? And I think that's critical. And I think especially with our young people, they need to learn how to empower themselves and not wait for parents to do it for them, not wait for teachers to do it for them, not wait for anyone to do anything. They need to be champions for their own future. You agree, Anthony?
Yes.
It's very definitive. So how do you do that, Roland? If you had someone who had that mentality that you're just describing, how do you help them get out of that way of thinking?
Well, we have 5 keys that we download to our students in various different ways, okay? These principles are the ones that I use to succeed, to overcome from Genesee Street to where I am today. These are ones I still use. These are ones that successful people use, and so we communicate it over and over again. The first one is, we call it gridiron
truth.
In the game of football, there's a lot of talk and speculation about who's going to win, who's supposed to win, or who's up, who's down before the game. Plenty of talk. But at the end of the night, the gridiron settles all. And at the end of the game, there is a truth. And that's what you got to deal with. Our students have to confront the truth of where they are right now today, the barriers that they're facing, the individuals, the people, places, and things that are here to hurt, and what is the truthful game plan to turn it around. I had to stay away from certain people. I had to use earplugs sometime. I had to go different places and go a different direction to get home because if I went a certain way, there was bad people there. That's the truth. Now, we can lie about it or act like that's not the truth, but that's not. So we teach our students to keep it real. I had to read certain subjects over and over again, 2 and 3 times. That's the truth. Do whatever it takes. The second ingredient that we teach them is called unbreakable.
Belief.
You got to believe in yourself. No matter what your mama, daddy, grandma, uncles, cousins have or have not done, you have to believe that despite your past, you can be successful. If you don't believe it, it ain't happening. He or she who thinks they can and he or she who thinks they can't are both right. So we start out with one simple challenge. I want you to get a 4.0. And we start getting them to think a different way, right?
Yes.
The third ingredient we have is called conscious.
Courage.
Courage. The ability to persist and continue despite danger, fear, or uncertainty. Conscious meaning be aware. Every single day, our students out here on these streets right now have about 12 to 15 times where they have a choice to make for their future. When they wake up, what do successful people think about and what do people in poverty think about? On the way to school, what is everyone else doing? What do poverty versus success? These opportunities, these moments are what will define our students. We can't look at just the bottom line outcome. We have to look at the outputs that lead to that outcome. And so we focus only on outputs, and then the outcomes take care of themselves. The fourth ingredient, we call it intentional.
Teamwork.
Our students have to learn how to reach out and communicate when they're faced with trauma, when they're hurting, when they're in pain. People, place, and things that can help you succeed. Reach out to them. Get to know them. Do everything you can to connect with them. And last but not least, passionate.
Perseverance.
Kids in this millennial, these what, Gen Z or Gen, whatever this Gen is. Gen Z, is it Gen Y now? I don't know, I'm so confused. These kids quit too fast. They give up. If the internet takes too long, they want to have a fit. It's ridiculous. We've lost the ability to persist. You're doing the right thing. Don't quit. You're doing it. It just doesn't happen with one marking period. If you fail a test, the game's not over. Just like in the NFL, if you lose a game, the season's not over. They have to learn how to keep going and keep fighting until they get there, not based on anything else, until they get there. So we download these principles in a lot of different ways, and basically that's the mindset that will win. And if you download this ideology and you think this way and you focus on those five keys, you will be successful, or your money back.
What would you say to someone who may push back a little and say, in our society, in the economy, we're facing problems that have been created by ourselves? There's structural racism. We're living in segregated communities. There are mm-hmm. some people who are just at more of a disadvantage than others because of a variety of factors. So people who cannot find jobs don't have the resources they need. They don't see opportunities for themselves. How do you, the whole pick up yourself by your bootstraps mentality, if you're seeing someone who is really struggling, who is dealing with a lack of tangible things that they need to survive, how can you inspire them to think in a way like that when they're faced with these realities every day?
Well, I think we're covering different age groups. We're talking mm-hmm. different circumstances.
Absolutely.
Roland's talking between 13 and 18.
Okay.
So I'm going to stay in my lane.
Okay.
And so my lane is 13 through 18.
Mm-hmm.
My lane is from the sixth grade headed to the seventh grade till graduating from high school. I 98% of the time, there is nothing that we can't solve in that regard. There are resources here. There are opportunities here. There are people here that care. I'm talking about between ages of 13 and 18. Now, I won't try to jump into a world and talk about grown-ups. And Verizon and Sprint can't change grown people behaviors. You know how expensive that is? That's an expensive thing. So it's no need for us to act like changing grown-up behaviors is an easy or simple solution. However, I will say is that when we help this next generation, can you imagine a generation of individuals who have community service, who see the world as an optimistic opportunity? Those who have the intelligence and the networking to create, build businesses and build their own businesses. A lot of these issues, which I will say, just being frank, is individuals from our communities need to solve issues in our communities. We have to be leading the way, not following anybody else's way. And that's what the Champion Academy is about. It's no need for us to look for other people or look for handouts. It's really about us taking charge of our own communities and our own families. And this is important, in my humble opinion, in addition to everything else, not to discredit anything else. But what about this part? Restoring family values, helping our young men and young women realize that they're extremely valuable than what the outside world gives them, helping them put down some of the sugar and nasty stuff in their bodies, helping them fill their minds up with self-esteem and love and encouragement, holding them accountable when they don't follow the rules. To me, these are the tenets that also need to be a part of true change, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're just staying in our lane.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fair.
Right.
When you decided, I don't know if you came back here and came up with the idea for the Champion Academy, or if someone mm-hmm. approached you from here, how did that all get started? Because I think you're so invested in this community, and you haven't been living here for a while.
Yeah, it's so funny. It started out from a interesting situation, but all things work towards the good. You know, I came here some years ago. I came and actually got an award. And I, when I was there, I was talking about Rochester. I met Superintendent Vargas, mm-hmm. Bohan Vargas at the time. And he was a great guy. He'd say, bro, can you come talk to me in my office? And we shared. And he just let me know about the state of things now. I thought I remembered, but things had gotten much worse. And so it started out as a project to help him with city school district students and use football as like this lighthouse to turn students around. And then I learned about politics, and I learned that superintendents don't make decisions, school boards do, and the dynamic of firing teachers and public funds and all this stuff. And a well-intentioned idea turned into no funding or anything, and really too much headache. And then I talked to the mayor, and the mayor wanted to really help, and we had some federal funding for that one, and we tried to get that done, and sort of the same kind of the political side of things came, and I learned that mayors don't make decisions, but city council which I didn't know any of this stuff a couple years ago. And so, you know, it got complicated. But what it really let me realize was well-intentioned public service servants can only do so much. Every single thing of change in our society since the beginning of time, the public sector follows what the private sector demands. So the real issue is, what are we doing in the private sector to lead the charge, to spark the change, to spark the support? And so I took on this project on my own. This has cost me an awful lot of money and time. And I have three sons of my own, and I'm a single dad, and I live in California. My mom was diagnosed with lupus about a year ago. Oh, she lives out there with me also. And so it's been a challenge, but sometimes in life, you get something that's bigger than you. You know, I think about some of the great change agents of our time. I think about the Martin Luther Kings, and I think about, you know, these individuals who said, it doesn't matter what my personal life is, there's something larger that's calling me. And so I've taken this challenge on, and it has not been easy, but I'm excited and grateful for it because it's helped me become a better person. It's helped my sons grow. We actually come live here in the summer.
Summer in Rochester.
Yes, I actually moved from Los Angeles to Rochester every summer. And for my kids living in a gated community in Los Angeles suburbs, it's actually ironically very eye-opening and helpful for us as a family, for them to appreciate the things that they have. Because kids in the suburbs, those listening with kids in suburbs know what I'm talking about. They don't appreciate always what they have. They don't realize the things they take for granted, the stuff that they just, another movie, oh, okay, great. Video game, you know, whatever. They don't appreciate the things that they have. And so I like to expose them to individuals who don't and who do have that hardcore appreciation. And some people actually think I'm cool instead of my kids who don't think I'm cool all the time.
How old are your kids?
My oldest is 14. I have 14, 11, and 6.
Nice.
Yeah.
How do they feel about Rochester?
They love it. They love it. They get to come back and see Grandpa. Nice. We hang out. I take them to New York City after we finish up our time here. And they enjoy hanging out with our champions. Mm-hmm. I literally put my two sons in the program. My 14, 11-year-old, I just put them right in there with the crew, and it's great. And I love to see them get a chance to be around students from my hometown. Mm-hmm. Come on, we're Rochester, man. Come on. They're California, but they got to get a little Rochester.
There's still some Rochester.
Yeah, there's still some in there. It's in their dad's blood, so I guess they can't help it, right?
So when you're thinking ahead, I mean, do you have a long-term vision for what the Champion Academy might become? And
yes.
I know the last time you were in here, you and Evan talked about funding and how big of a struggle that was, as you just mentioned.
Yes.
Are there opportunities for growth in the future that you're seeing now?
Absolutely. You know, I think that when you show heart and commitment and you work hard, you're not afraid to sort of bootstrap your way through, good people in this community sort of catch on. And that's something that I'm extremely grateful for. You know, over the last couple years, we've had corporate support individuals stepping up and getting involved, from the ESL Charitable Foundation to, you know, to MVP Healthcare. The list just goes on and on of people who have seen what we've done to the private sector. Now we're getting into grants. Other people are catching on as we start to get the outcomes and I learn about how to do things the right way. And so this is one of those things where we're going to keep working. We don't have a big staff. There is no development team. It's Big Row talking to whoever. So if you know anybody, by the way, if you're listening, or you're like, hey, I got a lead for you, Ro, well, you can call in and tell us, and I'll call them. And Veronica and I are doing the best we can. We have expanded our collaborations. I think that Rochester does not collaborate as much as it should. We have more than 25 current nonprofits in Rochester that we actively collaborate with, and I think that's groundbreaking. We're leading that space. And it's just about continuing to push the envelope, to use technology, to get outside the box, to do things to connect with this right now generation. And the ultimate vision, I want to serve thousands of students. Instead of 300 something, I wanted to be thousands. I think we have a scalable blueprint. I think that what we're doing is innovative and edgy enough. I think that any school district, we're an asset to that school district. You know, we're a support group for school districts. We don't take the kids to a separate far off location. We're just a support system. So I'm just excited. I want to one day become one of the big ones. Mm-hmm. I want to become a franchise player, a notable entity in Rochester, and I'm just excited about partnering. We partner with NEED, Northeast Area Development, mm-hmm. a great organization. You know, it's just teamwork, man.
Mm-hmm. If people are listening and they want to volunteer, they want to donate, how can they get in touch with you? Veronica, what's the best way to reach the Academy?
The best way is to go to our website, www.championacademyrock.org.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Phone number they can call if they don't have access to the web?
Sure.
Stand by. We're checking. Well, we'll check back on the phone number.
But I haven't memorized it. Wait a minute. It's
585-571.
There you go.
7057.
Say it one more time.
585-571-7057.
Thank you. And we'll link to the web page on our podcast page, listeners, if you want to learn more. I'm seeing the phone starting to ring. So we do have a couple minutes left for your questions if you'd like to call 844-295-TALK. First up is Linda in Penfield. Hi, Linda.
Hi. Are you still there?
Yes. Go ahead.
Yes. Okay. Hi. I just want to say to Roland, I think you're doing a wonderful, great thing. I went to your website as you were speaking, and just keep up the good work, and to the mom and your volunteer coordinator and Anthony, you know, just keep rocking it, and you're doing great. I guess I just have one question for Roland in terms of his program. Are you connected in any way with the Rochester Monroe Anti-Poverty Initiative? Because what I seem to get from things I read in the paper and what I hear is that there just seems to be this lack of coordination or just this sense of stuckness. And I was wondering, do you have any input? Do you help with that? Do you, contribute your staff toward any of their initiatives? That's all. And just keep up the good work.
Thank you, Linda.
Well, that's a great question. Well, I, like everyone, looked at the documents for the Rochester Anti-Poverty Initiative. I heard about a lot of people who were involved in the front end of giving recommendations and advice. And I agree, there should be a collaboration of efforts and attitudes. One of the challenges is that I think it's important that when you say you want to collaborate, that you have to put your money where your mouth is. That's a simple term, but we use it in football, right? And so, for example, one of the tenets of the Anti-Poverty Initiative is trauma-responsive support. That's one of the tenets of the Champion Academy. I agree that trauma and vicarious trauma are humongous reasons that lead to bad decisions, right? So I subscribe to the Anti-Poverty Initiative tenet in action. However, you know, I heard about, you know, read something is like $30-40 million came in from the Anti-Poverty Initiative and was distributed to organizations looking to help make a difference. And it was like 30 million or something went to Hillside, and then a million went to MCC, and then some more went to Catholic Family Charities. And so for a lot of people, they feel like that's not the collaboration or the team, you know, it's only a few people that get the resources. And I think that has, hurt a lot of people's feelings, honestly. And I just believe that at the end of the night, it's going to just require us to keep on pushing, keep trying, and keep being a team. And so I support the Anti-Poverty Initiative, certainly, and I definitely agree with its principles. And so we'll just be doing the work mm-hmm. and aligning ourselves in action.
We're down to our last 2 minutes, and against my better judgment, I'm going to take our next call, which I think is from Mitch Gruber from Food Link. Mitch, I know you know the drill, so we got to keep it real tight.
I can do that. I just wanted to congratulate Roland and Veronica on another excellent planning season and confirm all the things they said. They are excellent community partners, and we love working with them at Food Link. And the partnership is growing every year, and this is exactly the type of work we need to see in the community. So congratulations, guys. Everything they say is exactly true about the type of community partners they are, and unfortunately, I can't be at your press conference, but I know it's going to go great. It's going to be a great season.
We love you, Mitch.
Yep,
Food
thanks,
Link
Mitch.
Is awesome.
Thank you, Mitch. Thanks all for calling in. We're down to our last minute. Anthony, I'm turning to you. I'm giving you the floor. What would you tell other students who maybe thinking about wanting to be part of the Champion Academy, but they're not so sure? What kind of advice would you give them?
Well, just join it, see what it does to help you and does to help with your future.
Mm-hmm. What about you? What's the biggest thing that you've learned that's helped you the most?
Stay focused, help out the community, and get my grades right so I can do what I need to do.
And you are rocking it. What's your GPA again?
3.05.
Oh my gosh. That is amazing. Good for you. Congratulations. Congratulations to you, Tatiana.
Thank you.
Wonderful work. Veronica Wilson, Community Partners Manager for the Champion Academy. Thanks so much for organizing this and joining us. And Roland Williams, our hats off to you for all the great work you do for our community. Thank you. Rob Braden's our engineer. Kat Schwartz helping out on phones today. More connections tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Member Supported Public Radio.